Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just like every other band and musician, blues rock guitarist Joe Bonamassa had to postpone his tour in 2020, but he's been very busy on some other projects while in quarantine, and he's here to tell us all about it. Joe Bonamassa joining me on the phone right now. Welcome.
Thank you.
We missed having you here at Red Rocks this year for what has become an annual tradition for a lot of people seeing you out there, but I know you're coming back around in August of 2021, and in the meantime, Joe Bonamassa has a brand new album coming out in October called Royal Tea, and a live stream event, kind of an album release party in September.
It is, yes.
Yeah, live from the Ryman Auditorium. Now you had to obviously pivot here, like everybody else has with COVID-19. Unlike some of us who have used the opportunity to eat poorly and not shave, you've actually got an album coming out in this live stream event. Let's start with the live stream event. This is going to be kind of a unique thing that you've probably never pulled off anything like this before, I imagine.
No, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, we've made DVDs and we've done television and we've done everything. We've never actually thought of this before, about playing a brand new album in its entirety, track one to track nine, all in a row as an album release part. It's never really come up because, I mean, I have so many albums out and it's not just one show. You know, we've never had just one show. And so the idea came up, you know, doing it at the Ryman Auditorium. You know, it's safe for the musicians because a lot of us are, you know, we have Nashville roots and I have a place here. And so it seemed logical to do it at the Ryman. It'll frame up nicely. It'll sound good. You know, we're doing full production, so it's not like, you know, we're going to be sitting in our living rooms in our pajamas. And so we're going to treat it like it's a gig. And, you know, it's just there's no people in the actual humans in the room. The thing about it is it's just, you know, there's a charitable contribution that you make to Fueling Musicians, which is helping, you know, helping musicians kind of navigate through this incredibly weird time. It's also a situation where you're sitting there going, you know, I got to do something to help. I've been very lucky in my life and career, and I got to do something to help. And I just, you know, I don't want to sit idle and go, wow, you know, I can ride it out and I'm lucky. You know, it's like, nah, I got to do something because it's a community. And the reason why, you know, I do so well is because there is a community. And if people are, if people just go, well, I can't swing this anymore. I got to go into be a civilian again and you know, go into the private sector and you know, get an office job. It's not going to be good for the music community. And it's going to take a 5 to 10 year hit. So, I mean, I'm trying to do as much as you can and, you know, to really, you know, help the community, not just the blues community, but my friends and people in bands and musicians that are, you know, either they're sidemen or they're front people or they're songwriters. It's just, it's that simple.
Yeah, it's a community. It's also a corporation. When you go see Joe Bonamassa live, you got to realize that there are, you know, 50 to 100 people behind you that are making a living off of what you're doing out on the road. And that is all shut down for so many people. And so that's why you're doing this event, to help them out. And let's talk about the Ryman Auditorium, too. For those who don't know, it's called the Mother Church of Country Music for a reason. One is it's where the Grand Ole Opry used to be and still is for part of the year. But it's literally an old church, and it is a beautiful environment. And I'm sure, as you said, it's going to frame up nicely. It's a very, very pretty place to do a show visually.
Oh, it's a wonderful place. You know, it frames up well, and it'll sound good in there because it's kind of cavernous without people. So you get that nice, I call it the Frampton Comes Alive echo chamber kind of sound. And you know, the other thing is it's an honor, a privilege just to walk through the building And it's an even better honor. You know, this will be my eighth time playing there. I'm actually calling it a .5, so it counts as 7.5. you know, we're playing there, but, you know, there's nobody in there. But, and, you know, I mean, we have to go through the whole, the iterations of, you know, we have to, you know, in a couple of weeks we have to go into a bubble, you know, tested. So, I mean, the whole thing is, it's like, we're not being reckless about going, I'll just set it up and, you know whatever, you know, Yahoo. It's like we're very, very cognizant about our people staying safe and not being affected. And you know, it's like, you know, there's going to be no, like, you know, picture on stage with like 40 people and production crew and we're all have our arms around each other. We're not, you know, we're trying to do this in the most pragmatic way. And we have a person whose new job is to make sure we all go into a bubble. So, like, he's the bubble boy and we're like the bubble band. He's the head bubble guy, you know, so it's a bubble thing.
What an unreal and surreal world that we are living in. But thankfully, you're giving people a release by letting them see live music like this. Again, Joe Bonamassa doing a live stream event. It is going to be on Sunday, September the 20th. It's at 2 p.m. our time here in Denver. And you can get tickets for it at joeb.me. That's his website with all kinds of stuff. And we mentioned that you're going to be doing the new album Royal Tea in its entirety, which comes out the following month in October. And that's tea as in the beverage, T-E-A. And you're paying tribute to a lot of your heroes who introduced you to the blues, the English blues movement from the 60s.
Yeah, it really is a tribute to the movement. Not, you know, we did a DVD in 2016, which was a tribute to Beck, Page, and Clapton. It was, you know, the holy trio of British guitar players that we all idolized. But the thing is, this record is a tribute to the movement. I mean, it's a tribute to everybody from, you know, from John Mayall and the Blues Breakers to Yes. You know, to Genesis, to Iron Maiden, Whitesnake, Deep Purple. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I mean, my band's a band of Anglophiles, and my set is very Anglorific, is it? Hopefully. but, you know, we're a bunch of Anglophiles, and it's a thing that just becomes very apparent to me that I have to tip the hat to the influences. And they were the gateway to me discovering Muddy Waters and God, you know, I mean, so many people, you know, over the years. It's just a fantastic, you know, movement that happened in a short period of time, you know, 1966 through like 1974.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that because the blues is a uniquely American art form, but you came to discover it through that second wave of influence. So then when you went back and you discovered Muddy Waters and you discovered the American blues scene, did that just kind of blow your mind that you know, much like people who heard Elvis and then they realized, oh, wait a minute, he's doing something, channeling a different art form himself, and you go back and you hear those originals, did that just blow your mind?
It blew my mind, but I also, you know, it when you're a kid, and you, a lot of it's a visual thing. You know, you see Robert Plant up there ripping through how many more times, and you're like, wow, this is rock star stuff. You know what I mean? It's like you're watching The Song Remains the Same, and you're going, wow, it's as visual as it is musical. You know, and then you go back and you listen to where it came from, and you're like, well, that's not the version that I got into. But as you get older, you go, man, the original masters of, you know, everyone, Lead Belly to Robert Johnson to Buddy Guy to Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker. These guys were masterful poets. They were poets. And the thing about it is there's only one Howlin' Wolf. There's only one Muddy Waters. And we've been chasing that for 60 years now. You know, and you're still chasing it. You're still trying to be as cool and as hip and as lyrical. And as, those guys were social commentators, and they were also documentarians in the sense that they would just document parts of American life in the South that only they knew about, you know, and then would write about it. And it was an excuse to get everybody dancing and make a little bit of money.
Sure, like all music does, it documents, you know, and so much more back then, even when you had, whether it was, you know, bluegrass in the Appalachians or the blues down in the Delta or in Chicago or things like that. There's a fantastic documentary on Robert Johnson that came out on Netflix, I think last year or earlier this year, that if you haven't seen it, it's really fantastic. Joe Bonamassa is on the phone with us. He's got a new album, Royal Tea, in October, and this live stream event from the Ryman Auditorium will be in September, Sunday, September 20th. JoeB.me is the website for all the info on that. You mentioned about the English blues scene from the mid-60s to early 70s. I want to take you back to the early to mid-90s when I was a young rock DJ in southwestern Virginia.
Oh, wow.
We were playing records by a band called Bloodline, which was my introduction to you.
Ha, yeah.
And there really seemed to be kind of a resurgence around that time period of the blues rock. Between you guys, you had Jeff Healey and Kenny Wayne Shepherd and guys like that.
Pride of Love from the Mid-Atlantic with Audley Freed on guitar. There was Brother Kane, and the Archangels, and every major label had a blues rock thing. You know, it was we were back when AOR radio was like, you know, it was like, oh, get some spins, you know, and yeah, it's amazing. It's that was 25 years ago, you know, 26 years ago. Crazy. It's different. We're kids, you know.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, sort of the whole grunge thing was happening, and at least commercially, that seemed to eclipse what looked like it was a wave of the blues rock coming back a little bit in my mind.
Well, you know, when I listened to Pearl Jam, especially the early, that's a blues rock band. You know, even Flo's blues rock song. I mean, it was because they were from Seattle. They were now all alternative and grunge and. You know, to me, I hear a lot of blues in Soundgarden. I hear a lot of blues in Pearl Jam, and even Nirvana as well. I mean, it's the building blocks. It's the sautéed onion, celery, and carrot of all music. It's the
mirepoix.
The mirepoix, very very well spoken. A French chef you are.
Yeah, it's just the blues with flannel, I guess, is all that turned out to be, huh?
Well, you know, and that's the whole point. You know, the thing is that blues pops up in different ways, shapes, and forms. And, you know, the traditionalist says, well, that's not the real blues. It's not the, but we can't just make carbon copies of the same thing or just abandon the genre altogether and go, no, it's already been done. Shut it down. Put the boards up on the window. You know what I mean? And it evolves, and people have different takes on the blues. I mean, like Jack White has a different take on the blues. Dan Auerbach and you know, Patrick have a different take on the blues. And it's okay. You know, it's better than not. It's better than not having it at all.
And all art evolves. Like you said, you can't go back and keep doing the same thing or just let it die. You have to incorporate it into something new that's moving forward. Talking to Joe Bonamassa, guitarist, you just brought up Jack White and the guys from the Black Keys there, who are both Nashville residents as well. Do you find yourself spending more time in that city?
I've been spending a lot of time here for about, I'd say about the last 10 years. I've had a place here for almost four. And it's a great community of musicians. I mean, if it doesn't exist, it's not here. You know what I mean? Or if it exists, you know, whatever, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. But it was, you know, one of the things is about Nashville is there's such a diversity in the music community, in the sense that it's, you know, people, you know, 20 years ago, it was a country town, you know, it's like, and, you know, people run around like Clint Black and George Strait and, you know, it was Garth and everybody. You know, in the last, say, 10 years, there's been an exodus from Los Angeles and New York and Austin and Chicago and the major music towns, and they got to come to Nashville. You know, it's like there's a scene here. Well, there's a pro and a con to that as well. You know, the pros is, you get all this different kinds of music happening here, and then the problem is you get a flood of content, you get a flood of options. And the people that found out that the word no in L.A., they thought it was going to have a different meaning in Nashville. It discourages some people, because now you're in a town where the guy at the Whole Foods is a better guitar player than you ever thought,
mm-hmm.
but he hadn't had the break yet. You know, so it's growing pains. You know, the city's growing in a way that I don't think anybody ever expected.
You know, it's funny. I've always equated Nashville and Los Angeles on this level. Yeah, they're both cities that, not all the time, but by and large, you get poor restaurant service in, because nobody wants to be a waiter. In L.A., everybody's an actor waiting for their break. And in Nashville, it's all musicians waiting your tables that are waiting for their break. And you're right. You walk down the street there on Broadway and poke your head into any club on a Tuesday afternoon, and you're going to hear a better guitar player and band than you ever had in your hometown.
Yeah, and it's hyper-competitive. You know, it's always been hyper competitive here, but it, It's nurturing as well. It's a very interesting musical town. It does not offer solace and redemption or opportunity to all. But if you have the will and the tenacity and the willingness to get out there and work hard and hit the ground running, you can make something of yourself in this town. You know, it's not impossible.
If we had solace and redemption for everybody, there wouldn't be the blues.
Exactly, it'd be a happy blues, which, you know, nobody likes a happy blues musician.
No.
Unless that's your thing.
Joe Bonamassa's got a new album coming out October 23rd called Royal Tea. And again, the live stream event from the Ryman Auditorium, September the 20th. It's a Sunday, 2 p.m. in the afternoon for us. JoeB.me is the website to go for tickets and information on the album. Also, a brand new song, Why Does It Take So Long to Say Goodbye? Excellent song that you're wearing in the video for the song. You're wearing a sweatshirt from Abbey Road because that's where you recorded Royal Tea. In
yes.
The Abbey Road studios.
Yeah, and I raid the gift shop every other day.
So. Do they give you one free when you make an album there?
I got the mug.
Okay.
I sold the mug. And they didn't even offer it to me. Some of the most expensive studios in the world. I sold the mug because they put a little marking on there because I have the same, it was like Joe's mug. And I bought it at the gift shop. I didn't steal it. I bought it. But they put Joe's mug on there. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm sure they would have given me the mug. But you know, I don't want to be, you know, presumptuous.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was Abbey Road's a great experience. I mean, I'll tell you what, I mean, it's those hallowed halls and all the gear, and, you know, they still have some of the Beatles mics and the piano that Hey Jude was recorded on, and the EMI console that Dark Side of the Moon was recorded through. And you're like, wow, this is really impressive as a collector and a historian. I said, but this piano is not going to write those songs for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of start at zero when you walk through the front door, and you're like, you're going to make your experience at Abbey Road what it's going to be based on how much prep time and work you put in.
Yeah, on some level it's inspirational, but it can only go so far for you. You got to bring your game to the room.
You got to bring your game. Yeah, and you know, I mean, that piano was just a piano in a room until Paul McCartney played that song that he wrote. You know what I mean? And then it's like, no, now it's iconic. Well, okay, right. But it's the chicken and the egg. You know, he had to write the song, which is the hard part.
And you've used some of your backing band that you've had on the road with you in the past couple of years, too. Some of those guys on this album, including Anton Figg,
Michael Rhodes, Reese Wynans. Yeah, that was the core band.
Most people will recognize Anton Figg as having been the longtime drummer on the David Letterman show. He was in that band.
Absolutely.
With Paul Schaefer. One thing that I found interesting about those guys, and just interesting about you in general, you started at such a young age, and you really strike me as somebody who is an old soul because you were drawn to music that was way outside of your age. And these guys that you have in your band are also a generation older than you as well, which is something you're used to. Do you draw from that inspiration as well?
Well, you know, I find that, you know, I've always found historically, because my catalog is so eclectic, the kind of players that I attract have to speak a lot of languages. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, Reese played with Stevie Ray Vaughan. And Anton has played with everybody. He was also the for years he was the house drummer at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. So he's inducting Chuck Berry, you know, he's in the band with, you know, Paul Schaefer's the MD, and they're inducting all that, and you know, it's an interesting concept. You know, it's an interesting concept. I mean, I know the prevailing narrative is like, you got to have a young, hip band. I'm like, well, okay, there's a lot of great young, hip players. But I need them to speak 30 languages. And we don't allow ourselves a lot of time for instruction. You know, meaning we're not a community college of music. You know, so to be in the group, you have to have this baseline of experience playing all kinds of stuff. I mean, like, we just rehearsed for this pay-per-view thing, and we're doing everything from trad blues to Starship Trooper from Yes, you know, and everybody has those references, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, the Bill Bruford thing, or yeah, the Rick Wakeman thing, or yeah, the Pine Top Perkins thing, or, you know, and it's like, and it's authentic references to these things, and it's like having an infinite amount of options. And that's why the band is so good.
And some of the other people that worked on the album with you also have legacy and heritage as well. You brought in Pete Brown, the former lyricist for Cream.
Yeah, he wrote Sunshine of Your Love and White Room and a few little songs you may have heard. You know?
One or two there, sure.
Yeah, and Bernie Morrison and Kevin Shirley and James House and it's fantastic. You know, it's just a fantastic, you know, lineup, and I'm lucky to be around them.
Well, the album is called Royal Tea, and it'll be out on October 23rd. You can hear it in its entirety from start to finish during the live stream event, sort of an album release party from the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, September the 20th, a Sunday, 2 p.m. our time. JoeB.me is the website for more information and tickets. But it's also going to be more than just the album. I understand you're going to have some special guests at a little after party kind of thing.
There's an after party. There's a, and a lot of our fueling musicians, Keeping the Blues Alive partners, we're gracious enough to donate some tracks and stuff that'll be on this broadcast, which would be, which is really cool. So it's very cool.
And again, Keeping the Blues Alive Foundation, which is helping out musicians who are suffering now during the COVID-19 pandemic, not getting those gigs and needing some support. So it's a great show for a great cause and a great album. And a pleasure to talk to you, Joe Bonamassa. As I mentioned, we're sorry that this Red Rocks season was wiped off the books, but August 8th and 9th of 2021, you'll be back here in Denver.
That's a boogie, too, man. We had the Colorado Symphony. We had the charts written, the conductor. We had Tassels and Tails ready to go. And, man, that was a bummer. That was the biggest bummer of the year. I was so looking forward to the orchestra shows, full orchestra. Like, it was like, I think I carry a big band. I got 70. We were about to go from 70 to about 80 in a scope of an afternoon.
And class this place up a little bit, huh?
Well, they're going to class me up. I got to break out the good Sears activewear for that one.
Well, we look forward to August of next year. And again, in the meantime, October 23rd, Royal Tea, and September 20th, the live stream event from the Ryman Auditorium. JoeB.me is where you get more info. Joe, thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you here in town.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.